that's what we're talking about. We want to get better at paying attention to Him inside of us, paying attention to that leading. And I really didn't mean to spend quite that much time on that. The second way that the Holy Spirit leads us is what we're calling through the inward voice. And we told you that that inward voice is when you hear something or you perceive something, and it's like just a still small voice. It's just quiet. It's just still. It's just small. You know, Paul repeatedly called it his conscience. And we talked about that if you were born again and you have the very nature of God inside of you, you can trust your conscience. All right? If you're not born again, they can't trust their conscience. It's going to tell them to do anything they want to do. But when you're born again, it's a different situation. And we talked about how that the voice of your body is your feelings. You know, that's what screams to your body. And the voice of your soul is your reasoning, what you think. But the voice of your spirit, the human spirit within you, is that still small voice that you might call your conscience. All right? And then we talked about how that, you know, because the Holy Spirit lives inside our human spirit, that's where He dwells, the Holy Spirit actually communicates with our inner man, our spirit man. That's where the communication takes place. And the Holy Spirit tells your spirit what God's saying. And you might get that from an inward witness, or you might get that message from a still small voice, okay? That's the communication of the Holy Spirit. And the third way, which is probably the most rare but still happens, is that you might be directed by the very voice of the Holy Spirit Himself. Not your inner spirit, your spirit, the human spirit, but God's spirit, the Holy Spirit. And you'll know if you ever have that happen to you, it is very clear what's happening once you realize it's unmistakable, His voice. It's very strong. It's not a still small voice. It's strong and it's authoritative and you can't miss it. In fact, when you hear that voice, a lot of times people, when they hear that voice, they'll look around and say, "Who said that?" Because it sounds so real, they think somebody actually said it, but nobody's around them, and they'll realize, oh my goodness, that was the voice of the Holy Spirit. So that is another way that He will lead us. And I also want to remind you what we reminded you last week. We don't seek after voices. Nowhere in the Bible does it say to seek after voices, okay? You seek after a voice, the devil will be glad to accommodate you with some weirdness, so don't do that. You don't seek after voices. You judge any leading that you have from your spirit man, whether it's the inward witness or that still small voice or the voice of the Holy Spirit, you judge it by the Word of God. If it doesn't agree with God's Word, throw it out. The Holy Spirit is very clear in the Word. There's one thing He will always do. Two things He will always do. One, when He speaks, He will always give glory to Jesus. He never gives Himself glory. He will always point to Jesus Christ. He will always point to Jesus Christ. And the second thing, He will always agree with the Word of God. So you can always go and you should judge those things and learn to be a judge of those things. That will keep you out of some mistakes and some trouble sometime if you'll learn how to judge those things. And again, it will take a little bit of practice. So since that Holy Spirit of the Most High God communicates with our human spirit, what we need to do is we need to learn how to be more spirit conscious, more aware of our spirit. It's very important that we learn to do that because, see, as human beings, we tend to be more mental conscious, right? Or we tend to be more, you know, if we're not mental conscious, then we're going to be physical conscious, whatever we feel, you know. And those are kind of the two realms that we're really pretty good at. They come real natural. And those are the ones that we kind of, you know, tend to be more aware of. And because of that, we neglect our spirit man, because these other two are screaming so loud and we're so used to listening to them that's how we miss that inward leading. We have not learned how to let our spirit be the dominant voice in our life and how to be conscious of the spirit within us and of His leading. We have to train ourselves. We can train ourselves. Just like our body, our spirit man needs to be built up and it has to be strengthened. If your spirit man is strong, you can trust it. If you let it get malnourished and weak and wimpy, then the other things are going to outrank it and be louder and rule you. And you can actually build your spirit man and strengthen it. Your spirit, guys, can be educated. Just like your mind can be educated. Your spirit man can be educated in the things of God. And we have the responsibility to watch over that and to watch, make sure our spirit stays strengthened and that our spirit is educated to know, according to the word, what to do and what you're looking for and how to listen to the Holy Spirit. And these things are truth. You know, we can do those things. But then again, just like when you went to school, you didn't go to kindergarten 1 week, and then the next week you didn't get to go to the ninth grade, right? Same thing with learning how to train your spirit man. It's not going to be instant. Guys, we're still working on this, but it should be getting better every year if we're practicing, if we're educating, if we're strengthening our spirit man. It should be improving. Hallelujah. You know, wouldn't that be wonderful if I think it would be wonderful if I could just hear the voice of the Spirit every single time. Wouldn't that be awesome? Wow. Maybe we'll stay here long enough for us to get there. I don't know. Maybe not. I want to give you four steps, and these sound really basic, but I'm telling you guys, this is truth. Four ways to train your spirit man. We need to train him. We need to help him. And the first way you're going to do it is by meditating on God's word. We just went through 40 days in the Word. We talked about this in depth through that series. It is meditation, as you remember, it's what you think about. It's what you mutter or you speak to yourself. We're to meditate on the Word, and that will help to train your spirit. I've got a scripture reference there. You can look it up later, Joshua 1:8. And you cannot develop spiritual wisdom if you do not meditate upon the Word of God. It feeds your spirit. It feeds him. The more word you feed on, you meditate on, the stronger he is developing. He has that, all right? Second way is practice the word. Don't just meditate on it, but here we go. Rubber hits the road. Do it. Practice the word. Practice doing in all circumstances, oh Jesus, what the word tells you to do. That's our goal. All right. And, you know, becoming a doer of the word will grow us and strengthen our spirit man. Third way, give the word first place in your life. We talked about that a lot through 40 days in the word. Give it first place. Proverbs 4:20-22. It talks about why should we put his word first place? Well, here you go. It says that it's talking about his word. So his words are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Who could use a little life? Excuse me, after that, amen, y'all all could use some. Who could use a little life? Amen. There you go. There's the truth right there. Who could use a little health to their flesh? Amen. All right, guess where you get it? His words. Give it first place. Give it first place. Now, number four. Here we go. Instantly obey the voice of your spirit man. It's interesting that that's number four when we're talking about training your spirit. But if we will meditate and practice and give the word first place, I'm telling you, it will feed your spirit man, it will strengthen your spirit man, and you're going to be able to trust your spirit man. And the reason is because you're doing all of this with the word. The word of God is going to become your spirit's primary source of information. When anything comes your way, he's going to be so full of that word and so meditated in that word and so covered with that word inside and out. He's going to be so strong in that word that instantly the only source of information he's got is that word. Guess what's coming out? He's going to guide us by the word of God. You can trust it, but you got to keep your spirit man strengthened and keep him educated in the word of God. Keep him, because he can get weak on you. And it's not a pretty sight then, okay? All right, so that's our job. Here's a few more things for us. I'm kind of tying up this Holy Spirit business here and giving you a few nuggets here at the end for you to take this week and meditate on them and to study them and to become doers of them and learn how to instantly obey your spirit. Here's some things. If we want to cooperate with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit that dwells within us, I want to give you a few things you can do to help you to cooperate with Him. See, that's the biggest deal. He's there. All His power is there. All His help is there. The deal is we forget to cooperate with Him. And we just neglect it. So we need to know, how do we cooperate with this Spirit, this Holy Spirit that's there for us? Well, here's one thing that you need to know about the Holy Spirit within you. The Bible talks about how that we need constant renewals of the Holy Spirit. See, a lot of times as Christians, we're born again and we know the Holy Spirit has come to live inside of us and we think that's it. But that's not it. The Bible talks about it's just not a one-time shot. Yes, the Holy Spirit is there and will never leave you, but you need to continue to renew yourself with the Spirit of the Lord. In fact, you know, it is so important. And there's a scripture here in your notes. It's 2 Corinthians 4:16. It says, though our outward man perish, I think we're all experiencing a little bit of that. You know, it's a natural process. Though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. That's talking about your spirit. It's to be renewed day by day. He didn't say, you know what, get the Holy Spirit when you get saved and just forget about it. It'll be good. It'll hold you to heaven. He said, your inward man is to be renewed day by day. And then the question is going to come up, well, how do I do that? How do I keep my inward man renewed? Because that's a good thing. You know, charge it up daily. It's a good thing. And Paul prayed this in Ephesians 3:16. He prayed this over the Ephesians. He said in Ephesians 3:16, he said that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner spirit. Did you catch that? We're strengthened by his spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. Where? In our spirit. We strengthen and renew our spirit through the Holy Spirit. That's how it happens. And, you know, our spirit man is renewed by the Holy Spirit who lives in us. We need to be aware that we need constant renewal. We absolutely do, because, like I said, just getting that first big shot at salvation isn't enough, because, you know, some people, and it's true that as human beings, we leak, right? And it's not that you leak the Holy Spirit and he leaves you. You leak your understanding. You leak paying attention to the Holy Spirit. You leak educating and building yourself up and strengthening yourself through the Word. We leak. We're not very diligent sometimes. And so it's very important to realize, you know, I might have leaked overnight. I need to renew that just a little bit. I need to get a restock, you know. And that's what it's talking about. It is. And to stay strong spiritually, we have to be daily renewed by the Holy Spirit. Now, Paul said in Ephesians 5:18, he said, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. But he puts these words, but be filled with the Spirit. And you'll see on your outline there's a parenthesis there. The Greek word here, be filled, means being filled continually with the Spirit. It doesn't mean just be filled once and you're done. It means continue to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's a 24/7 thing. It's something that we should be aware of, that we need him. We need a fresh renewal of him. And it's a process of continuing to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And the deal is, it doesn't happen automatically. You know, you didn't get the Holy Spirit at salvation and then every day you get a new squirt. It doesn't happen automatically. It's not on a timer. You know, we have responsibility in this, people. All right. We have responsibility in this and we have a part to play. And I'm going to go back to what we kind of already talked about. I'm telling you, you must seek God in his word and you must seek God in prayer. That is where you are going to receive that renewal of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And, you know, I say that, you know, look at Isaiah 40:31, which many of us are very familiar with because we really like the scripture and we use it a lot. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, and they shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Hallelujah. We like that scripture, right? It's a good scripture. I love it too. But you know, really, this scripture is talking about the renewal of your spiritual strength. That's really what it's talking about. A lot of times we'll use that because we need a punch of strength in our body. And it works too. You'll see in a minute. But it's really talking about your spiritual strength. And the deal is that when you are strengthened spiritually, you know what it's going to do? It's going to manifest itself in the rest of you. When you are strong spiritually, it will make your body stronger and more energized. It will make your mind more lively and alert. When you are strong in your spirit, man, it affects the rest of you. Have you ever noticed that? Have you ever let yourself get really down spiritually? And I'm telling you, before you know it, you got aches and pains you never had before. You don't want to get out of bed. You're thinking things you never should be thinking. Why? Because your spirit, man, you let him get weak, and it's affected your physical body and your soul. But when you strengthen the spirit, man, I'm telling you, it has wonderful effects and it works outward in you. And you can tell the difference. You can see the truth of that difference. And the deal is that scripture that says, wait upon the Lord. What I understand is that in the original, that wait upon the Lord means to become entwined with Him. To spend so much time with Him that you're just meshed together. And the only way that's going to happen, that waiting before the Lord, is waiting on Him through His Word and through prayer. That's how you will strengthen yourself, all right? That's one way. We could talk about others, but that's the one we're going to show you tonight. Now, another thing, we're talking about cooperating with the Holy Spirit. First thing we just said, remember, you got to keep renewing it. Don't rely on yesterday's stuff. Get fresh. Energize from the Word and from prayer, from the Holy Spirit, okay? Second, it's important to learn, and this, again, is process. All of our Christian walk is a process. It's a learning procedure. We're just on this earth to be trained, you know. We're just practicing it down here. Pretty soon we get to graduate and go to heaven. But we need to learn how to walk in the Spirit. And here's the deal. I was reading after an author, and he made this comment. He said he can't get away from the question of, if we have the Spirit of the Most High God living in us, shouldn't we be noticeably different than those people who don't have the Spirit of God inside of them? Yes. And sometimes we can't tell the difference. That's not a downer. That's just like, whoa, I need to, that's a reminder. Who is living in me? Wow. No wonder. And we should be different. We should be different. We have the Most High God, the Spirit of the Lord living inside of us. You know, Galatians 5:16 says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Galatians 5:25 says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Now, we're doing some quick teaching on this stuff. You guys need to take this. You need to go back and read it. You need to meditate on these scriptures. But this is going to give you kind of some overview stuff to get you going. The deal is this, to walk in the Spirit, I guess one way you could say that, to walk in the Spirit is godliness. And some people are already saying, well, that lets me out. Well, none of us are completely godly. You know, we are striving for that prize. But it is godliness. When we're walking with the Spirit, let me tell you, you know how you can tell the difference between someone who's walking in the Spirit, who is filled with the Spirit of the Lord, and someone who's not? You are going to be walking a godly life. Because you've got the Spirit of the Most High God in you who's telling you, or yes, go do that. That's good. They don't have a governor whatsoever. The Holy Spirit is like a governor. He teaches. When he comes in, he brings a lot of things to us to teach us. One of the things he brings to us is those lovely and wonderful fruits of the Spirit that we studied all last year. Walking in the Spirit is demonstrating those fruits. There should be a difference if the Spirit of the Lord is inside of us. Here's an interesting scripture. Ezekiel. He prophesied this in Ezekiel 36:27. He was speaking about when the time was going to come when people would be filled, would be born again, and the Holy Spirit would come live with them, in them. And he prophesied about it. He said, I will put my Spirit within you, and I will cause you to walk in my statutes or in my law, and ye shall keep my judgments, and you will do them. What did he connect right there? He said, the Holy Spirit is going to come and live with us, and what is he going to do? He is going to help us walk this word. Before you were born again, you probably had no desire, any indication whatsoever to walk this word. When the Holy Spirit comes in you, things start changing. Things start changing. In other words, that Holy Spirit inside of you is going to help you to walk according to this word. And that is walking in the Spirit of the Lord, walking in His nature, walking as He would walk, as He would have us to walk. And in order to consistently walk in the Spirit, we have to continue to fill ourselves with the Word. And we also have to keep practicing to listen to and to obey the Spirit's promptings every time they come. Practice it, practice it, practice it. Another way you can cooperate with the Holy Spirit is we should learn the way of the Spirit. And I'm throwing this in because I think it's important for us to make sure we have some reality here and some balance here. And showing you the scripture in Isaiah 55:9, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours. This is God talking. And he says, my thoughts than your thoughts. So his ways are higher. God has his own way of working things out. He has his own way of working his will in your life. A lot of times it's not the way you would have picked. Did you ever notice that? And in fact, the honest truth is sometimes the way that he works his will out in our lives may be a season of difficulty. Even that word we don't like to hear, suffering. You know, we don't like to hear that, but it is true because we were promised in the Word of God that we will have trials, we will have tribulations, we will have temptations in this world. Of course, we were also assured that Jesus has overcome them all. But we still, many times, have to walk through those things ourselves and walk it all the way through and allow Jesus to overcome it in that situation with us. Show us the way through that. You know, maybe, I'm sure like me, I think we've all had these experiences when you've gone through a really hard place. And it's not much fun when you're going through it. In fact, I can think of several in my life, and usually when I'm walking through it, it's almost one of those steps of grief, I think, or something. You know, it's almost steps you go through, or maybe I just go through. The first step is I go kicking and screaming. When I start going through a suffering, I go kicking and screaming all the way through it. And then I finally get to a place where I'm like, okay, maybe I should pray about this. And then I still have my flesh in there and my will in there. And I finally will get to the place where while I'm praying about this, I'll say, okay, Lord, show me. Show me. If there's something you're trying to teach me, if I can learn something through this, let me learn it. I don't believe God brings bad things on us to teach us, but he will teach us through things that we will come to us through this world. I'm completely sure of that. You know, and most of the time when I'm walking through some of that stuff, I don't know at the moment that actually the Holy Spirit is leading me all the way through that. Now, when I'm kicking and screaming at the very beginning, he's having a really rough time leading me. But eventually, if I'll just get myself straightened up with the Word, and I'll allow him, he will actually lead me all the way through that situation, and he will teach me through it. Have you ever had some of those hard times where you learned wonderful lessons? wonderful lessons? You know, we have a tendency as Christians to think, you know, that everything ought to be easy and that, you know, God is good and hallelujah and praise the Lord. And it is good. It's awesome. But, you know, when something hard comes our way, a lot of times believers just want to turn and run. I mean, we do. You get in a church, you get offended. What do? You run. People run. I'm not saying you personally, but never would I say that. But, you know, whatever the situation is, hard thing comes, you run. You come to a situation at work where you're having a hard time with a coworker. What do? Let me go get another job. You know, stuff like that. We run. We think we shouldn't have to go through hard stuff. And the problem is that's why most Christians never grow up. What about your kids? Did you always go and fix everything for them when it got hard? If you did, they probably never grew up. They got to learn how to deal with things. And it's a hard thing for a parent to do. Because sometimes it's hard to watch your kid go through that stuff. But it will grow them up and teach them lessons. And it's the same way with us, you know. It is. There have been seasons of hard times in my life. And, you know, someone will ask me later, well, oh, that had to be the worst thing. And you know what? I did not enjoy it while I was walking through it. But now, with the Holy Spirit showing me and teaching me, I can look back and I can say, I wouldn't trade that misery for anything. I am so glad the Holy Spirit allowed me to walk through that, because I learned, those are the times I learned the biggest spiritual lessons. And they were hard-earned lessons. And when you get a hard-earned lesson, guess what? You don't forget that one. Because I may be grateful for that hard time I went through, but I'm not stupid. I don't want to go through it again. Right? Okay. The deal is that we need to learn that the way of the Spirit, He doesn't always lead us in smooth, easy sailing places. All right? He doesn't. And He shouldn't. But when we know the Word of God, when we know what the Word says, we can learn that trials and tests are really just another opportunity to walk it through, stand on the Word, see victory at the end, and learn. And the next time you have a test, you're going to be ready for it more than you were this one, because you've grown. You've grown in it, and it's a wonderful thing. Smith Wigglesworth said this. He said, great faith comes out of great tests, and great victories come out of great battles. So, like we said, tests and trials are going to come. They do. We're in this world. But you got to remember, there's victory in Jesus as long as you stay the course. Don't jump ship. Stay the course and let God take you through victory. And the deal is that, you know, we'll grow up through those things. If you've been a runner, when these hard things come, the next one, don't do it. Instead of running, stand on God's Word and see Him bring you through to victory. He will do it. He is faithful, all right? So, you know, when you realize that it was the Holy Spirit Himself that led Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Holy Spirit Himself took Him into that path. We don't always understand, but we trust, and we trust the Word. Well, what I'd like to do tonight is I want to start changing just a little bit, because you know what we've done? This is our fourth week talking about the person of the Holy Spirit. We've spent a lot of time getting familiar with who He is. We've spent a lot of time learning how He operates and learning the help that the Holy Spirit brings us. And that really has been the main focus that I feel like the Lord wanted to lead us into. Because the deal is this. A lot of times when we even mention the word the Holy Spirit, sometimes it's like, you know, people get these little flags going up for one reason or another. But the deal is this. The main thing I want you to take from this is to realize if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you are full of the Holy Spirit. He is there inside of you. All the help He is there for you to use. We're all filled with the Holy Spirit and have the same availability to Him, the same advantage of Him living within us. But what we will talk about is, you know, the Bible also teaches us that there is another work of the Holy Spirit. And it's available to all believers. And it's what you'll see in the Word, especially in Acts and the epistles. What you'll see is it talks about being baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. And, you know, we haven't talked about that at all yet, purposely, because that's not the focus of this teaching. However, we cannot teach on the subject of the Holy Spirit without including this very important aspect of the Holy Spirit, because it's part of who He is, it's part of what He does. So it's very important that we must at least talk about this some, and that is where we're going to just barely begin tonight, all right? I'm sure most of you are aware that the first time this event was mentioned, this baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, it was mentioned in the book of Acts. And it was mentioned in Acts 2. And we're going to look at that, verses 2 through 4. We're not going to talk a lot about this tonight, but we are going to at least start opening this subject a little bit, all right? And this is what it said. First time this is mentioned. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord and in one place, talking about the believers, the followers of Jesus, not just the 12, but all of them who were believing on Jesus that were in the area. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, that's just to introduce that subject and to show you where it's first mentioned in the Bible. And when I look over this crew and this group of people, anytime you get a group this big, we've got all kinds of people with all kinds of backgrounds. And that's a good thing, because you know what? That's what it's going to be like in heaven. So it's good. It's a good thing. We love it. We love it very much. But in this group, I would just have to assume, I have to guess, that there's probably some of you out here, a few of you out here, who really are scratching their heads a little bit, and they're like, I never heard of this thing. I never heard of this. What are you talking about? Speaking in tongues. And there's probably a few out there that they're like, I don't know much. I don't know anything about that, you know. And others of you out there, you're thinking, yeah, I've experienced that. It's great. It's wonderful, you know. And then there's still others of you out there that aren't really sure about it. You've heard about it. You've heard teaching about it. You're not really sure about it. You're not sure if it's for today. You're not sure if it's for every believer. You know, there's all kinds of thoughts out there about this subject. And probably every one of them is represented out here. And that's all right. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. But I do want you to understand, and I believe you do, because we always make this very clear in our membership meetings, is that Cornerstone Church does believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. That is one of our tenets of faith, all right? Now, you may be looking at me and you may be saying, wait a minute, you're getting into an area I'm not sure I'm comfortable with. Don't get upset and don't get worried. It's going to be easy. It's going to be easy. You might be thinking, well, you know, Cornerstone Church believes in this? Do you believe everybody has to speak in tongues? The answer to that is no. No. Do I believe that everybody that gets into heaven speaks in tongues? No. Speaking in tongues has nothing to do with you getting into heaven. Your salvation has to do with you getting into heaven. All right? And that's the bottom line. And that is the line that we fellowship on. You know, if you've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then we're all able to walk together as brothers and sisters in the Lord. And everybody should say, amen. Yes, indeedy. All right. And you know what? We'll love each other and we'll worship God with each other here and in heaven. Hallelujah. It's going to be a great, amazing thing to see every tongue, every tribe, every belief. Not every belief, but, you know, if you believe in Jesus. But all those little things that we mess with down here, doctrinally, is not really going to make much difference up there. All right? That's really the truth. What's going to matter is that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior and that we are there before the throne of God. Hallelujah. It's going to be a wonderful, wonderful thing. And there's nothing wrong with having a little heaven on earth. And I think that's what we have at Cornerstone Church. Personally, So anyway, bringing the subject up, you know, as a church, you know, let's just be, we're going to just put this all right out in the open so everybody's real comfortable. As a church, we reserve the right to believe this biblical principle, and that's part of our tenet. That's part of our belief system. We believe it, that it's in the Word. But you know what? We also give you the right, if you don't see that in the Word, and we're comfortable with that, all right? There's no difficulty. Just like I said, brothers and sisters in the Lord going forward. But there is one thing that we do not do here at Cornerstone. We do not debate it with each other, and we do not disrespect each other's opinions and thoughts and beliefs. Now, I'm not saying that because some of you are, so don't think I'm getting on to you. I'm just explaining that, you know, we're living together happily. Hallelujah. Wherever we may be in that particular point, all right? It really doesn't matter. We'll work together happily for the kingdom of God. You just come alongside of us, and, you know, I might speak in tongues and you might not, but we're still going to work side by side and get the job done, right? No big deal. All right. So that's really where we're at with that. And, you know, when we start opening this subject about the Holy Spirit and with being baptized in the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in tongues, a lot of times people do have questions, and no wonder. You know, it is kind of an interestingly odd kind of situation, you know. So, yeah, questions, I think, is a natural thing. So there's always those questions that come up, especially when we talk about speaking in tongues. And I want you to understand that next week we're going to talk in depth about this subject, and I'm not bringing this subject to try to change anybody's mind or to try to say one is right and one is wrong, because that's not true. But what we are going to do is we're going to explore the Word together and leave it at that. And we will next week give you an opportunity, if you're interested, to be filled with the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. But everybody's not a candidate for that, and we understand that too. So it's all well and it's all good, and it's going to be a great journey together, because the whole Word needs to be looked at, and this certainly is a part of the Word that we're going to be looking at, and it's going to be exciting. You know, let me give you just a little bit of beginning thoughts about this baptism in the Holy Spirit and this speaking in tongues. You know, maybe an illustration, this little illustration might help you, I don't know. When we're born again, we already established the Holy Spirit came and lived with you, in you. You are filled with the Spirit, guys, all right? We've established that already. All right, so we're all filled with the Holy Spirit. And if you know, I'm not trying to make anything out of this illustration. I'm just trying to give you a little illustration here. You know, you're filled with the Holy Spirit, and it's kind of like a grown-up going out and enjoying a kiddie pool. All right? You know, I mean, it's hot outside. If a kiddie pool is all you got in your yard, and that's, you know, hey, grab it. If it was a puddle in the sidewalk, you might grab it. You know what I'm saying? So, but when you think about it, you think about these kiddie pool, and the deal is it's got water in it, and that water, it's cool and it's refreshing. You know what you can get yourself into it. It's probably going to be somewhere between 12 and 18 inches deep, you know, and I can just picture somebody laying out in it and their feet sprawled out over one side and their arms off the other and their belly just under the water. But you know what? It's so hot, we'll take what we can get. And it's a good thing. So, you know, that there's nothing wrong with that. But being baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues is kind of like getting out of the kiddie pool and jumping into the adult pool. And the only reason I say that, not because you're a kid or an adult, and you know, it's because it's just the difference of the depth. Okay? Your adult pool is going to be somewhere between 4 to 10 feet typically deep, right? That's a lot of difference from a kiddie pool. So it's like going over there, and, you know, it's still water, it's still cool, it's still refreshing, but I'm pretty much sure on a hot day like this, it's going to be a little bit more satisfying, right? But it's still, you know, and you could take that over into the Spirit where you say, you know, it's the same Spirit that comes and dwells within you at salvation is the same Spirit that you are baptized in and filled with and speak in tongues with. It's the same Spirit. It's not a different Spirit. Okay? It's the same Spirit. It's absolutely the same thing. It's just that if we can say this, maybe, like I said, just for an illustration, being baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues is a deeper dimension of the Spirit. Just like we had the little pool and we had the deep pool, it's just a deeper experience, a deeper dimension of the Holy Spirit. Same Holy Spirit. And with this dimension of the Holy Spirit, when you know, if you do step into that experience, there are some very unique and helpful things that the Holy Spirit can bring through the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Some very unique things that the Holy Spirit can help us with, a deeper things, as it were, we'll talk about next week, that you can experience in that, through that dimension. And I just want to share this with you. I don't know if it'll help, or I don't think it'll hurt, but I was reading through a book, and there was a number of testimonies in this book about some denominational pastors who came into this experience of being baptized in the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. And they came from denominations that did not believe this. It was no, you know, type of stuff. So, you know, it was quite an experience for them, all right? And I just thought this was kind of an interesting thing, because one of the testimonies was this. It was a Baptist preacher, and when he this happened to him, he got in a situation and somewhere, and he found out about this, and he got filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in tongues. He's a Baptist preacher. So he goes back to his church, and he thinks, okay, you know what? I better tell everybody, because I got to be honest about this, right? So he stands up that Sunday morning, and he tells his congregation exactly what happened and exactly what he's doing now. And he preaches his sermon, and it just so happened this particular preacher, the minute he was done with his sermon, he was fired. Well, the other two ministers that these gave testimonies about, and I'm not saying a right or a wrong way, but I think it illustrates something. Two other ministers, you know, they had the same kind of experience. They went off somewhere, they found out about this, they got filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak in tongues, okay? And both of them, though, as they prayed about it, said, what am I going to do? What am I going to do when I go back to my church? And they don't believe this, and what am I going to do? And they both felt like the Holy Spirit counseled them to just stay quiet about it for now and see what the Lord would do. And these two ministers took that tact, you know. And the first one was, he was a Methodist pastor, and he was now filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, and he didn't tell anybody. He didn't even tell his wife. And he went home, and he continued to speak in tongues in his private prayer time, but, you know, he didn't tell anybody about it. And eventually, one day, his wife at breakfast says, what has happened to you? And he said, what do you mean? He said, good or bad? Oh, good, she says, you know. And so he couldn't keep it from his wife any longer, because she knew something was up. So he told her what had happened. These Methodist couple here, you know, and he's telling her what he's done. And he's speaking in tongues. And she said, I want that too. Just point blank. Because she had seen it. And it turned out that he went a while longer before he announced it to his congregation or said anything to his congregation. And he'd preach Sunday after Sunday, and he was giving his message. And almost every Sunday, one of his congregation members, or several of them sometimes, would come up and say, preacher, what's gotten into you? You know, and he'd ask them, he said, what do you mean? Is it good or bad? And they'll say, oh, it's good. And he said, well, what do you mean? What's different? You know, I'm not seeing any big difference. What's different? What do you think is different? Oh, your messages, they're so much more powerful. They're so much, wow, they've got my attention. And it's just, you just got a new spark about you, you know? And it got to the point where every Sunday, more and more and more of his congregation would come and ask him. So it was like he had to tell them, because everybody was asking. So the one Sunday he got up there, and he knew what he should do. And he said, okay. And he gets up on the pulpit and he tells everybody what happened, and that he is now a Methodist pastor who is filled with the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. And talked to him all about it. And the most influential man in that church got up, ran to the altar, and said, I want some of that too. And right behind him, the biggest percent of the congregation did the same thing. Another situation, we're talking another Baptist pastor here, same type of experience. Don't have it from his wife, but he had the same experience in his church. They would come up to him and they would say, what's happened to you, preacher? You know, and he says, what do you mean? Is it good or bad? Oh, it's good. You know, well, what's good about it? Oh, my, your messages are so much more powerful. They're so much alive. They're so good. You know, it's just a real difference. And same thing, same scenario happened. Same thing. He finally shared it with his congregation. Same thing. Before he knew it, almost the majority of his church decided to be filled with the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues in this Baptist church. Well, the only reason I'm sharing that for you is because I just want you to understand that it's the baptism of the Holy Spirit It happened in all of in these three situations. You saw what happened. But the baptism in the Holy Spirit will change you. We're born again. We've got the Spirit of the Lord within us. There is no question in my mind about that, that you have everything in you already that it comes with the Holy Spirit. I believe that. But when you do, if you do experience the baptism of the Holy Spirit with speaking in tongues, there will be a change in you. And the most evident and noticeable change that will come over every believer when they step into this, if they step into this, is they will have more power to live for the Lord. It'll happen every time. Because Jesus himself told his disciples in Acts 1:8, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Now, let me leave you with this thought, this little passage of Scripture, because I find this very interesting. You know, I never really thought about it in this light, but it might, you know, maybe you haven't either. That it is actually in the Bible that speaking in tongues is a sign of people who follow Jesus. And Jesus, it's in Mark 16, 15 through 18. And Jesus said this, okay, we're going to read through the scripture. Jesus said this to his disciples, very familiar. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. And he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. Okay, these signs that's listed right after that is going to follow who? Some of those who believe? Just certain ones? I don't see any distinction here. These signs will follow those who believe. Believe what? He's talking about it right here. Jesus Christ. Those who are born again and come into the knowledge of Jesus' saving power. That's what he's talking about. Here are the things that are going to be a sign of those who believe in Jesus Christ. First thing he says, in my name they will cast out demons. How many of you believe that you do have authority in the name of Jesus Christ? Is it just for the evangelist who comes in? No. It says, follow those who believe. Believe what? Believe in Jesus. All right. Next sign that's going to follow them. They will speak with new tongues. Wow. That's in there. Is it just some believers? Is it just the 12 and then it died off and we don't do that anymore? It says, follow those who believe. Believe what? Believe Jesus Christ. All right? Next sign that's going to follow you. They will take up serpents and they will drink anything deadly and it will by no means hurt them. Now, I think we all understand that doesn't mean snake handling. What that's really talking about is God's protection. Just like when Paul was bit by that snake when he was shipwrecked and it didn't hurt him. He's talking about God's protection. How many believers can expect God to protect them? That's right. If you believe, you can expect his protection against every deadly thing. And what other sign is going to follow? The next sign that's going to follow them is they will lay hands on the sick and they will receive. How many of you believe that as a believer you can pray for the sick? It's not just for a few. It's not just for the healing minister. It's for all believers. These signs will follow those who believe. Now all I'm doing here is I'm scratching the surface. I'm opening up the word to you. I'm just giving you what the word says, and we'll be kind of digging around in this next week, all right? But you know, when things come up like that in the Bible, have you ever had things come up like that in the Bible when you're like, I never experienced that. So you kind of make excuses like, well, that must not be for today. I never experienced that. Or that must be just for the preachers. See, we kind of tend to do that as human beings. When we see something in the Word that we come up against, like speaking in tongues or healing or miracles or gifts of the Spirit, we got to make a choice at that moment when we see those kinds of things in the Word. We have to make a choice. Those are points where you make a choice when you see those things in the Word. And you make a choice, you know, if they're not operating in your life, you know, well, I never prayed for someone saw a miracle. They must not happen today, or maybe just certain people do them. You know, what happens is if they're not happening in our life, we're either going to excuse it, make some excuse why it doesn't, why we haven't experienced it. You see what I'm saying? Or we have another choice. We can humbly go before the Lord and say, hey, Lord, this looks like I'm supposed to be having this stuff, and I don't have it. So I need you to teach me by your word and by the Holy Spirit. Our choice is either to water down the Bible to match our lack of experience. Guys, this is good. This is not just on speaking in tongues. This is good. All the word. We can water down the Bible because we don't personally have never experienced it, so we water it down. Or we can believe God to raise our experience to match the word. That's good stuff right there. It's good for whatever comes up in the word and it's just like, Okay? That's good stuff right there. It's a good thing. All right, so next week what we are going to do is we're going to, only for one night, next week is going to be it, we're going to present to you the word. And I have no idea what everybody's background is or what your thinking is on this subject. And you know what? It's okay because, like I said, we're all in this together. But I will encourage you with this. Lay every preconceived idea you've got down as we come into the teaching next week. And guys, I'm not just talking about for those people who don't know anything about the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about for those who do speak in tongues. Sometimes we think we know it all and we got it together. Lay those preconceived ideas down and allow the Holy Spirit to teach you something next week and me something next week, okay? I'm just telling you, lay it down. If you've got denominational teaching about this, lay it down. If you've got teaching that you experienced something, like you went to a church when you were a kid and you saw somebody swinging from the chandelier, lay it down. Or someone told you they saw that, lay it down. Lay down those preconceived things that you might have about speaking in tongues and being filled with the Holy Spirit. Lay it down. All of us, lay it down. Everybody say, lay it down. And instead, we'll open the Word, we'll go to the Scripture, and remember all these 4 weeks we've taught you, and we've taught ourselves and reminded ourselves that the Holy Spirit is in us to be our teacher, to reveal the Word to us. I don't want to convince you one way or the other. I want to open the Word and say, here's the Word. Holy Spirit, teach us what we need to be taught, all of us. Okay, so I'm just encouraging you, come with that thought process, and that's going to help you. I also want to tell you another thing. There are some I know in this room that have probably been wondering. You're really wondering, what are you even talking about? What is speaking in tongues? I don't know anything about it. Or you might be saying, you know what, I've been hearing about this, and I really am interested. Or you may have questions about it. I'm going to lay some books out on the desk back there. I've got several just little mini books. If you've got questions or if you're really super interested about this, pick up one or two of these. You don't need all of them because a lot of them carry the same information, okay? But I'm going to challenge you to start looking it over. Start reading. Start looking up the scriptures for yourself. Start asking the Holy Spirit to show you things and teach you things. You know what? By the time you get here next week, you probably are going to have it down pat if you do that. Holy Spirit's going to do such a good job of teaching. You could probably do it. But these books are going to be out there. If you'd like one, take one. They're free for the taking. We've got Bible Way to Receive the Holy Spirit. Why You Should Speak in Tongues. Another one, Why Tongues. We've got our handy dandy book that we use around here a lot, This New Life. There was one chapter in this about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Covers it very well. This can help you too. So those are going to be out there. If you're interested, if you've got questions, if you'd like to go ahead and start opening up the Word and looking at the Scriptures, I think that's great because, number one, it's going to start answering your questions already because I might not get to all of them next week because I can't answer everything. And it's also going to start, those of you who are interested in being filled with the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues, it's going to start building up your faith. And you're going to be so ready, you won't be able to stand it next week, okay? You're going to come in and say, can you Can I get it now? You know, before the teaching, all right? So that'll be awesome. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord God, that we just love each other. We love you. We love your word. Father, I thank you for the brothers and sisters who dwell together in unity. I thank you, Father, that, you know, I'm not interested in convincing anybody about anything. What I am interested in, Lord God, and what you are interested in is your word. And I pray this time and time again, just let us be led by your word and by your Holy Spirit. And that will take care of that. And we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
This has been a production of Cornerstone Church in Grove, Oklahoma. For more information about Cornerstone, you can call 918-786-6164 or send an email to info@cornerstonechurchofgrove.com. Thanks for listening.